spent my evenings with the first cohort of these girls, and I taught them how to build AR effects. And their AR effect ended up being launched with Doja Cat at Coachella, which is a festival in California. This ended up being a program that went on for a year with all of the strong women on the RCA label, where we ended up taking different cohorts of these girls and then teaching them how to build AR effects.
Welcome to the Regulating AI podcast. Join host Sanjay Puri as he explores the dynamic and developing world of artificial intelligence governance. Each episode features deep dives with global leaders at the forefront of regulating AI responsibly, tackling the challenges using AI can bring about head-on and enabling balance without hindering innovation.
Welcome back to Regulating AI. Artificial intelligence, AI, stands at the forefront of technological evolution. So how do we regulate it without stifling innovation? Our podcast aims to bring many diverse voices to the forefront of AI conversation by featuring insights from various perspectives, from industry leaders to government officials to advocacy groups. We've had them all. Today, we are thrilled to be joined by Leanne Baron. She's the Strategic Partner Manager for Creative Partnerships at Meta. Leanne, thank you so much for joining us on the Regulating AI podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here. I'm excited for the conversation we're about to have.
Wonderful. Leanne, can we start off by you telling our listeners about your role, what you do in terms of your day job?
Yes. So currently I am on the AR ecosystem and partnerships team at Meta. And what that means is I have the luxury of being able to work with a lot of different types of partners, those who are the creative developers that I have longstanding relationships with, because I actually come from that space. I am a designer, an illustrator, a creative mind by trade, and I did spend a lot of time in the last 20 years working independently, but as well working for a variety of firms and companies and helping them to translate what it is that their vision is creatively on a bunch of different surfaces. And with great interest on emerging technology, that's just where I vibrate. It's just something that I find incredibly captivating when it comes to being able to tell the stories that we bring to every conversation. And it is what brought me to Meta, because I wanted a place where I could be the voice for a lot of these creators that I was working with and alongside, and to do so at a place of scale. So I have the benefit of the relationships that Meta already has established with many brand partners, as well as those that are also in social good, et cetera. And it's extremely fulfilling work. So that's where I currently sit, but always open to new and interesting conversations like this one that definitely touch the relationships I currently have, but the ones that I'm looking to pursue as well.
Well, that's fantastic. So working at scale, working with creative people, Leanne, that's very helpful. So how do you visualize AI impacting the future of creative expression and collaboration?
It's definitely top of mind, and it has been for, I would say, the last 2 years. It's been something that the creative folks that I'm working with, as well as even within my space internally as well at Meta, it's top of mind simply because the integration now and the visibility to mainstream lifestyle, I would say, not even just media, but how people are integrating it into their daily lives on the consumer end, as well as the responsibility that those of us who are serving the consumer side, that we have to be very mindful of how that's influencing. There's been kind of two sides that I see. The first being fear, which I think is the thing that we see in media that is brought up in conversation. What is this going to do to our established ways of doing things? And I think the one thing that I always encourage those who approach me and have this fear is to, first of all, embrace the change. Again, I'm speaking on my own, the way that I've been managing this and navigating with the conversations I have, in that this is something that I think is a little bit bigger than us, and that sometimes when there's a train in motion, you have to understand and respect the fact that thing is going and it's left the station. And so therefore, I'm encouraging people to say, hey, am I going to stand here and watch this train as it's leaving, or am I going to get on board and see what it is that I can do while I'm on board that train? Am I sitting at the front of that train? Am I driving the train? Am I having conversations with people on the train? But the point that I always drive to people is say, don't be afraid, get on the train and then understand what it is that you're dealing with here. And in this case with AI, it's part of the conversation to, I think, assist, but also challenge everything that we have done to this point. That's very frightening for people. But at the same time, when you start to embrace this change and then start looking at the resources we have to teach us about what is going to be happening as we start moving forward and educating ourselves and taking that initiative, forming opinions based on the research that we've done, that lessens the fear. The other thing that I'm seeing, particularly with the creatives who are embracing this, that have gotten over the fear, is incredible excitement. Because to this point, I think a lot of the ideation and a lot of the opportunity to express what it is that's in the mind's eye as a creative has been stilted because there's a very slow point to delivery because the tools have been so slow. And what AI is doing for creative folks is really accelerating the point of imagination, the point of ideation, to the delivery of the idea almost instantaneously, which allows them to be able to surface the ideas that they have in their minds, but to run through a bunch of them and to do so quickly and therefore iterate and improve upon what it is that they're actually sharing out to the world for the visions. And that's the part that I'm very excited about, is that there's this wonderful flow that AI is allowing us to tap into simply because there's no more roadblock for the delivery system.
Leanne, you made some very important points. So let me see if I can cover them. You said embrace the change. Don't be fearful because the train might leave, but you should get on the train. And then what you also said, Leanne, is, which I think is very important, is it's given people, I'm using me myself. I like music, but I don't know how to create music. But now I can do things that I could never have before. Today, people can create short-form music, short-form videos, short-form things. The creative side is now getting faster. Is that what you're kind of saying?
Absolutely. I would like to actually talk about a launch that was very recent and very top of mind, especially for the VFX industry, for animation industries, was this evolution of OpenAI's next iteration of Sora, the introduction of having the capacity to, through text, create a very aesthetically pleasing visual animation or movie or whatever it is. To this point, it's usually been still images for creative generation, but this is now really cinematic. Some folks are claiming it to be cinematic quality, but again, that brings up the fear in the folks who feel as though they're going to be replaced. The people who have traditionally spent many years learning these crafts, learning the tooling so that they can deliver the message. But this is what I'm saying now. This is here now. And the idea is going to be, I think, the commodity versus the skill. So to this point, people have made their living on the fact that they have the capacity to work with a tool and to translate ideas. But I think now we're stepping into a very new age where we have to start really paying attention to what the idea is, because that is essentially what we're going to have. We're not going to have these roadblocks anymore to pause on delivery of the idea. It's literally going to be ideation, zero latency, and then delivery of idea. And I think as humanity, we have a whole bunch of great ones. So that's what I'm excited about.
Yeah, very, very exciting. So Leanne, just to shift towards a little bit of democratization of AI tools, what initiatives do you think are there to ensure accessible and inclusive AI tools for diverse creators, for many different kinds of creators?
So for me personally, I feel like education is part of this. Education for people who want to step into the space. So if, I don't know if we're recording this visually, you know, if there's a video component to this, but I am a female, a woman, and I come from a diverse background. I have Filipino heritage, Spanish as well. So I come from a space where traditionally in my family and my ancestry, the women that have come before me have not always been encouraged to jump into tech or to be aware of it or to even embrace it or chase it. I am certainly one of very few in my family that are in this space, very few in my community even. And just going beyond my culture, but even in Canada where I'm from, a lot of the women who are my age in their mid-40s are not at all interested in what's going on in this emerging AI, Gen AI, anything. That language to them is completely foreign. So where I talk about education is I want this to be something that is positioned to be something that people who are not necessarily aligned to this type of field to become interested. And I think that if we speak to folks in a way that they feel like it's accessible to them, that it's not intimidating, that they as well can have a voice and participate in what this looks like And when that's done through education, to say, hey, these are the words, even just down to the lexicon, and making sure that people feel comfortable with the language and what it is that they're speaking to, that they understand what they're saying, starting there, and then allowing them to have different pathways to have conversations where they feel comfortable and feel as though anything that they're going to contribute is relevant, then that's where I think you have a whole lot more diverse voices that are contributing to the space. My concern is that there are really just a few notes, and then it doesn't really allow for a full symphony when you only have a couple of messages that are being put in. So my goaling right now is to make sure that young women, folks that maybe don't have access to technology, to see what's really available to them, whether they're coming from places where they don't have the access even just to the hardware to be able to get into a lot of the options that are available. I think making sure that's accessible is going to diversify the kinds of voices and therefore the conversations and challenges that we're going to be having as we move forward with this.
No, so what I think, Leanne, you're saying is education awareness is very, very important. But there could be significant opportunities with this kind of a tool for many underrepresented communities, as you said. Are there some partnerships with communities that are traditionally underrepresented you can talk about?
I mean, not specifically for AI, but just to understand where my mindset is and where I take advantage of the opportunity that I have within Meta, for example. So I did step into this company for a lot of reasons to bring voice, like I said, to creators, but also because they have this superpower of partnerships. So if we look back, I would give an example. 2 years ago, we were presented with an opportunity to support Girls Who Code. So that's a group of, I think, 500,000 plus girls across North America. It may be further now, but these are cohorts of young women who are not necessarily always privy to a lot of the opportunity that other folks have been historically. So those from diverse backgrounds and also from means to participate in different opportunities. So these folks came to us here at Meta, and there was a partnership with RCA Records and Doja Cat, who's a prominent performing artist currently. And they said, you know, we are doing this video for Woman, one of the songs she's released. And we have the Girls Who Code, who have actually developed through Script a website that is actually changeable if for the viewer, if they were to come to the website and input some different colors and things like that, they could actually change the website on the fly. So not exactly AI, but working with emerging tech, same kind of mindset. They had asked me, they said, you know, being on the augmented reality team, do you think you can find a creator, come and build an effect that will complement this? And I thought, let's go one further. Why would we just throw an effect at these women when we could teach them how to do it themselves? So this is the kind of mindset that I have, is that rather than just throwing things at these groups where maybe they already have this baseline and this potential to contribute, to take a step further, those of us that are in positions to have the partnerships, to have the connection points, to just spend that extra time. They said to me, Leanne, who's going to do the mentorship on this? And I said, I will. So I took time, you know, and I volunteered. And I think that's something that we have to do. If you have knowledge or a little bit of expertise within your field, to just take a few extra minutes here and there to support those that maybe don't have the opportunity, and it might be easy for you. And so I spent my evenings with the first cohort of these girls, and I taught them how to build AR effects. And their AR effect ended up being launched with Doja Cat at Coachella, which is a festival in California. This ended up being a program that went on for a year with all of the strong women on the RCA label, where we ended up taking different cohorts of these girls and then teaching them how to build AR effects. And so this is, I think, what we kind of have to do is look for opportunities of partnerships where people don't actually have a lot of mentors, those of us that are currently in the space, to stand up and say, hey, I'm willing to help out. I'm going to do a little legwork now because we need it right now. There aren't a ton of us in the space that are able to have this influence. So just to spend the extra time, if possible, to mentor those that don't have the access to it.
So what you're saying, I think, Leanne, is take the time to mentor them, teach them how to fish rather than giving them the fish, is what you kind of did by going the extra step. So that's very, very interesting. Leanne, just shifting to some ethical issues. So how do you address ethical concerns about bias and discrimination in some of the AI-powered creative tools?
again, it's making sure that we have voices that are contributing to this, right? Inevitably, they're going to scrape whatever is currently available. And if we aren't contributing, again, or encouraging those that have these voices but are just currently not in the subset of data, if we're not encouraging that, just allowing this to perpetuate and be a very closed data set, I think that's going to be an ongoing problem. Again, those of us that have the opportunity to make these connection points and to bring in these additional voices, for me, I am so much about ensuring that young women right now are not sitting here as passive people that are just consuming this information. Let's find ways that we can have them contributing to share that voice online that's done in a positive way, to make sure that voice is part of the data set. And I don't know how else to say that more, but it's really about encouraging these voices. And it's done on the ground, though. I feel like, yes, we can do things at scale, but where the most meaningful, I think, deeper connection points that will continue to influence these underrepresented folks that need to contribute is when those of us are really on the ground saying, hey, this is something that you need to integrate into your lifestyle. It's not something that you're just going to read about and pass off. And if there's someone that's close to them in a space, be it professionally or socially, that can help to influence and drive that, then, you know, it could take a village, I think, for all of us to move this forward.
Looking to make the most out of AI advancements and innovation? Visit regulatingai.org to learn more about how best to optimize the use and integration of AI, and sign up for the Regulating AI newsletter to keep up to date with the latest in AI governance and regulation.
It definitely will take a village, Leon. You're absolutely right. Leon, just shifting to data ownership and privacy, how do you build trust with creators regarding data ownership and privacy when they're using AI tools?
I think that this is something that companies like Meta, it's really important to be aware of their policies and to be understanding and patient. So sometimes when we go through a lot of the onboarding or when we're looking at new opportunities with creators, there's a lot of paperwork and there's a bit of frustration and people want to get paid quickly or they want to move on to the project very quickly. So my suggestion to them is always to say, hey, you know what, let's just be patient for a moment. We're making sure that everything that we're doing right now is in the best interest of those stakeholders that are currently participating in this opportunity. So it's always just a moment to say, make sure that you're aware of what it is that you're stepping into. Like inevitably, if you're going to put on a headset or if you're going to be doing something that's going to be broadcast to the world and seen by many, many eyes, understand your audience, understand where it is that your IP is going to be living. Do you feel comfortable with that? But take the time to really understand what it is that you're sharing. And then if there's something that is questionable, then again, use that voice and say, hey, this is something that I don't feel comfortable with. Why is that there? And have that conversation. But also knowing that on our side, when we're managing these partnerships, that we're very much open to the conversation to ensure that people feel comfortable with what it is that they're sharing or what it is that they're going to be stepping into.
So they need to obviously be aware of what they're getting into. But from, let's say, the creator's perspective, what safeguards or legal clarity would be most helpful for them to protect their work and ensure proper attribution if it influences AI-generated outputs, Leanne?
Well, this is a space that I think is also very exciting too. And again, very personal for me and what I'm observing in going back to reviving, I think, what was known as the crypto space where people had this attribution, the idea of having this source and accountability and understanding where source is. So I think that's something that's going to be coming up in more conversations, especially now with Sora at the forefront of this, not really understanding what is real, what is legitimate, what has been fabricated, what is the actual source. So being able to trace that, and again, becoming very well educated, everyone's going to have their own level of comfort of where they can say, I feel okay understanding where this comes from. But it's up to every individual. I know that there are going to be some standards that are put into place as we move forward with this. But again, it comes up to you as a creator or as an individual to say, hey, this is my work. I'm going to protect this with some sort of way of acknowledging that this is stamped digitally. There is something that's traceable here. And then taking the time to understand which surface is the best for them to make sure that their work is protected, and then step out into the world to say, okay, I've done due diligence on my side. I feel comfortable. But it's really about empowering oneself, I think, to feel comfortable, not waiting for people to give it to them and to tell them this is what you need to do, but really to get in there, get familiar with what's available for the tools to protect their work, and then make sure that they go ahead, follow up with it, and then feel comfortable sharing it after that.
How do you navigate competing interests, Leanne, between creators, platforms, and AI developers in making sure that these are responsible partnerships? Because there are competing interests, as you know.
So one thing that I've always been a person for is, again, advocacy for the art form. Because I go back to, I'm only going to speak through my lens here and being a creative, in that I don't think that any one person should have all their eggs in one basket. This is just life advice, in that absolutely it's great to have affinity or loyalty, let's say, towards a particular platform or space, because that's what suits your needs or suits whatever it is that you're trying to deliver into the world. However, things change. This is a very rapidly changing world. The tooling, the surfaces, the companies, the things that you are depending on but are not in control of are bound to change. Therefore, my suggestion is always to diversify and never feel as though you should only be aligned to kind of one platform or surface. And therefore, also understanding when you're going out and seeking these different places where you can share out your work. If it's for us in our space, I'll speak very specifically. There's in the AR space that I represent, there's TikTok, there's Snapchat, there's Meta, there's opportunity to share out on web. And I feel like the more opportunity that creators stay open to, then the more will be available to them. And again, it's all about advocating for oneself, right? It's also in the space too. I think that there are a lot of people who are trying to identify strictly, say, as an AI artist, let's say someone who produces just strictly AI, or those that were in the AR space prior to that, that they're strictly AR. Again, I think you're going to have so much more success as a creator or creative in this space if you diversify your portfolio of skill set. Not to say to run thin and jack of all trades, but master of none. That's not necessarily what I'm suggesting, but at least have awareness. And if you don't on yourself, on your own team, have someone that is skilled in one area, then to supplement that and find someone that will complement, so that you do have an awareness or an opportunity to speak to other areas in this whole space of emerging tech. I think awareness is very important. And then having diversity, because it only creates a more colorful or more well-rounded picture of what it is that you're going to be sharing out as a creative if you were to diversify that way.
So having awareness, diversifying, not just on the platform side, but on the skill side is what you're saying. Whether if you're in AR, look at AI. So those are very important suggestions. Leanne, there's some generally often tension between artistic freedom and regulation. How do you help creatives, or what suggestions do you have for creatives to thrive while making sure that they're doing responsible AI use?
So it's an interesting thing, because the first thing that comes to mind when you ask that, Sanjay, is there's a time and a place. So I feel like there are going to be times where you're going to have to bend your creative vision or what it is that you're working on or the thing that you're trying to accomplish if you are in alignment or if you are in partnership with something that requires regulation. For example, if you have a client, let's say a creative has a client or is working with a corporation and there are specifications for that particular project, there are just boundaries, right? Not to say that there's anything wrong with having these boundaries, but understanding and respecting that you are now in tandem, in partnership with this particular partner. And therefore, you're going to have to bend what it is, your vision, to help the greater good of the outcome of what it is that you're working on. So time and place for that. But as a creative, I always encourage the people that we're working with and representing to leave time for yourself. Because sometimes that one thing that you want to constantly bring into the conversation that keeps tapping at you is maybe something that can be solved if there were, say, to be a personal project that you would take on after hours. And then it would have its outlet and its opportunity to thrive in that space. Simply because there's something kind of tapping in the back of the mind creatively, an idea that is just persistent, doesn't necessarily mean that it needs to land within the space where there is a lot of regulation, where there is a lot of conversation of boundary that needs to be respected. So I think, again, there's a time and a place, understanding the concept or the idea or the thing that you're trying to fulfill, understanding if it's appropriate to the partnership or the time and space that you're trying to bring it into fruition.
So basically, there's a time and place, and some flexibility also is required from the creatives, Leanne, is what you're saying.
Yes, absolutely.
Leanne, what emerging trends in AI do you see shaping the future of creative partnerships?
So it's so fast paced. And if you're going to ask me that question, I'm sure in a week, something that I didn't see coming, because literally if we'd had this podcast a week and a half ago, I would not have foreseen the massive thing that is, again, that has come in as a wave and really uprooting what's happening. Because what's happening right now, like I said, is text-to-text, text-to-photo prompt, the inclusion of even just having AI present in sensory. So within the Ray-Ban Meta smart glasses, for example, having multimodal as an option there to integrate into our audio response has been incredible. But really, it's taking over these really well-established and deeply rooted spaces such as entertainment with this VFX, what's coming in here, and that AI is literally going to be doing the hard work, the grunt work that has been done by traditional folks. So I feel like that's extremely exciting, but it is something, again, that we have to adapt to and make sure that as it's coming in, we are being mindful of how we're resourcing this. It's just part of the tool, right? It's part of our tool set that we're actually sharing out with the world and taking advantage of.
Obviously, with the world of AI, metaverse, and everything else, how do you ensure that human element remains central to the creative process, Leanne?
This is fascinating because I am very much an advocate for that. So I always try and understand what is it that is the human experience that can't be duplicated by AI. The one thing that I'm bringing to conversations now and where I hope that people are easing their fear is the one thing that cannot replace us is imagination, right? So from my understanding of how generative AI is happening and these large language models are working is really taking from a subset of existing data that is already out in the world. So what we have still is imagination to conceive of the things that are not currently out in the world. That's what excites me so much, right? Is that we're always going to have this human factor. And I think that a lot of the imagination and the stuff that has not been conceived of comes from the human experience. What I encourage everyone in my creators that I'm working with on the daily, anyone who will see me on socially, I'm quite active on social media. And half of my narrative that I'm sharing out is very much how to be present in the physical world. I'm very rooted in wellness, physical wellness. I share that out. I do that with the hopes that it's something that's like a match to the kindling wood, let's say. So when I share out that I'm out there in the forest running a 5K with my son, I could choose not to share that out, but I do because that's a human experience. And while I'm out there in the forest, you'll usually see a trail of something that I've seen now that I've captured that has been a human experience because I've tactically been there and I've experienced that sensory that has triggered something in my imagination that I'll now then bring into something that I'm doing digitally. So it's not just having that experience, I think, as a human and what it means to have human and relationships and be living in a physical world, but it's almost a duty now to those of us who have voice to share it out, to make sure that little spark that we are sharing out continues on so that other people are like, oh yeah, this is what we're here for. We're human. We're doing this. We're having this experience. Someone else is doing that too. And then it becomes this snowball effect that other people through this media that we're consuming are very thoughtfully aware of it and hopefully integrating it into their own lives.
So imagination is something that cannot be replaced, and we should all be sharing our human and sensory experiences like you have when you go out on your 5K, is your message here, I think, which is very important. Leanne, looking ahead, what are your biggest hopes and concerns regarding the future of AI, specifically in the creative world?
Well, creatively, you know, my hopes are that we are going to really see an uptick in the kind of stories that are being told, right? And let's talk a little bit more about the humanity of that. Every single person that is here on this earth is contributing their own story and what it is that they're sharing out. My hope is that we hear a lot more of those stories that maybe didn't have a channel to share out, but now with the lack of friction, because AI has removed that barrier of delivery of those messages, then now we're going to hear a lot more of the stories. I want to hear the stories of the people who are in very remote mountains in the Philippines. I want to hear their stories of what it is that they are passionate about, that even though they may not have all of the world's assets and things in their hands, that they wake up every day and they're incredibly joyous and they sing. I want to hear that story. Or on the more challenging side of things, people who have had hardship that have not necessarily been able to share that because they've just been living so deeply in that, but have this motivational story that they can share with the world that will hope to continue on that motivation with those that are hearing it. That kind of thing is really exciting for me. I feel like having this reduction of a barrier to sharing our stories is a huge thing. Obviously, the concern about understanding authenticity, that's something that comes to mind and is at top of mind, especially for those of us who are not super familiar with what is real and what is not. I think education is going to play a huge role in that. For those people that are consuming a lot of what looks real and just taking everything for face value, I think there has to be, at a high level, an education point that, hey, just because you see it or hear it doesn't necessarily mean this is what is real. So it's going to be a really important play on the big signal folks, be it government or those driving a lot of the messaging that lands with the greater populace, that people understand now we are in a whole different game and that we have to question things. Unfortunately, we can't just sit passively and assume that everything we see is what it is.
Obviously, our hope is you're going to listen to a lot of different stories that have not been heard. I don't know if you have listeners in Philippines mountaintops, but I'm hoping that we will now have some, bringing in many different stories, giving people an opportunity to create more. And obviously, on the work concern to make sure that people can figure out what's real and what's not real, and that separation. Those are very helpful points. Leanne, as I mentioned to you, our listeners are across the board globally, political leaders, business leaders, advocacy groups, civil rights groups. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners about your work or your vision for AI in the creative community?
Well, I love that, you know, you calling out again that this is a global space, and I love that you're listeners are from so many parts of the world. It definitely mirrors the work that I'm doing too, because a lot of the creators that we have are from every place in the world. And I think a lot of the joy that I've had through working with these folks, especially through AR, because just to be very specific about what it is that's brought me joy on this global scale, is being able to see how with AR on a social platform where it lands is on Instagram, there was a time there where the effects that were being produced would be shown through the person's POV, through their stories or through their social media. It would be showcased and you could actually see the work that was created by our AR creators, who was using them around the world. And it was this lovely little window into the small towns in Brazil, for example. There's a huge followership of AR effects that were being built there and used there by those folks, as well as in Russia. So you had this wonderful diversity of these small moments. And again, I go back to the stories because this is the humanity and the realness of it. You could see how these folks are living so completely different, and being able to share the POV, I think, again, with augmented reality, with AI, with all of this emerging technology, to embrace it, share out what it is that you have in your world. So then there's greater awareness, and that will hopefully then spark something from someone in a completely different area of the world to have less of that disconnect or that feeling that we are not similar, but to find the similarities and to find the interest and to have that connection point. Because at the end of the day, Sanjay, I think the thing that goes back to humanity and what drives, I think, the greatest happiness, at least from what I've seen, is connection. And the more that we have that opportunity to see it through the lens of all of these wonderful points of emerging technology, I think the happier and the greater, higher vibration we're going to have with the people around the world that we see.
Well, that's fantastic. It's many different stories bringing people in the globe together. And I think what you're doing is tremendous, Leanne. So thank you for sharing your insights, your experiences with us today. I know our listeners are going to glean valuable perspectives from this conversation. And to learn more about Leanne's work, I'm sure, Leanne, there is a lot of social media links that you have that we will be sharing. But until next time, please stay informed, stay engaged, and remember, diversity of voices matters, and AI regulations is crucial for the protection of creative people. So thank you, Leanne, for being with us, and thanks for taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me on and for having this podcast that is, I think it's incredibly important right now and so relevant in every conversation that we have this awareness and that it's done at a great global scale too. So thank you for having me. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Leanne.
Thanks for tuning in to the Regulating AI Innovate Responsibly podcast. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned on the show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you'll never miss an episode and leave us a 5-star review.